SEMA was a huge success for him, you know, and Vicious 2.0. It was fun to bring that car back and watch people really, there was a crowd around it the entire week. You could never walk up on that car where there wasn't a crowd of people. And it was fun for my friend Chris to see him have a whole new life with
that
car.
We talked about the neon around that, on that platform. Right? I mean, it just caught your eye
that
walking
platform.
Down the, oh, totally.
Hey guys, welcome to High Octane Hustle. I'm Fastlane Jane.
And I'm Design Muse.
And we are here
talking about
SEMA.
Yeah. Was that lame?
Kind of,
but that's
SEMA
us.
Show. Woo!
2023.
Yes.
Shreddy.
To give you guys an idea of what the SEMA show is, what it means to us. And a couple other people, we have some guest spots so that they can kind of share their perspective on the show as well. So
what you guys may or may not know is that Teresa, because not me, with Real Deal Revolution, this was my first time coming in for setup. I've been with Greg when he's brought his car to SEMA and participated with that, but not setting up a booth. So that
was
rad. And it wasn't, well,
the behind the scenes of what it looks like before.
Yeah. And I think that having an opportunity to be part of setting that up for so many reasons, for ultimately what the She Shed became, I think that was, for me, that was a big highlight of my SEMA experience.
Awesome.
Getting, you know, an opportunity to participate with something new, seeing old friends, seeing new friends, and being a part of that. So that was amazing for me.
That's
what
cool.
What about you?
Because, I mean,
you
helped put the heart up.
Yeah. That's when you
for
guys...
most people are like, what?
What? You've heard of Easy Ups. This is a beautiful piece of...
That's really hard to put up.
Yeah.
So it's called the heart up, not the easy up.
And you have to be a certain height to handle a heart up. Y'all can think about that. That's all up to you.
That's awesome. No, seriously. I mean... there's so much to say about SEMA. So first off, you know, for you guys, it's the Specialty Equipment Market Association. But what really falls into that is that it's aftermarket parts on your car. So you buy a car from the factory and then you put different wheels and tires on it that are from a different, you know, an aftermarket, you know,
company.
Yeah. Thank you. So essentially, we like to customize cars. We like them to look cooler and to go faster and to perform better, you know? And so that's really what the SEMA show is about. And I remember my first time going, and I was 16, and my parents, because you're at 16, that's the official age that you can go to the SEMA show. And so I remember going, and it was like, you know, my dad had, you know, a couple vehicles that they had worked on, you know, from the shop. And I was just like, literally, as soon as I got to the show, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to build vehicles like this for the show. It was amazing. It's overwhelming if people, you know, tell you that. But it's like this thing everyone talks about. Everyone needs to get a vehicle to the SEMA show, you know?
Right.
You know, it's this thing. And so I think over the years, I mean, I won't talk about, I've been going a lot of years, like decades. And over the years, it's evolved on how I show up. And this year was really cool because, so 2 years ago with our nonprofit Real Deal Revolution that Jesse and I started, we had a booth at SEMA. And so it was really cool for the first time to have that there because, you know, Jesse was always busy. I was always busy doing other things. And so, for us to have that, to participate, we did workshops, you know, that was great. You were part of that. It was amazing. It was such a great energy and vibe.
Yeah.
Right. And this year, what was really cool is that, Bogey from All Girls Garage and from Girl Gang Garage, all girl things here. She had reached out and was like, hey, I know you guys, you know, you usually do a booth and stuff. Like, you guys got room for more? Maybe we can think about doing something together and what that looks like. So what we did is we brought some organizations that were nonprofits together, you know, to really empower more women to showcase that there are a lot of women builders out there. So
a lot of women interested in building or participating in some
or having vehicles at the show or driving and right? So many things. I mean,
yeah, we had great conversations with women who've been building, like Micah Wolf. She was amazing. And, coming over and showing us some of her work and just looking at, she's been doing that in her dad's garage since she was like 13.
And isn't it great to hear stories?
And she's an adult woman.
Yeah. But it's like cool to hear stories like that.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted is we wanted to have a place where everyone could get together, especially women. Like we had dads that were walking by, like, I would love for my teenage daughter to be part of this, you know, you know, and it's a place that, you know, cause we all grew up in just shops, you know, growing up and we all had, you know, men that believed in us and stuff, but we didn't see a lot of women around.
Right.
So, you know, our goal is to like understand that next generation coming up, that they have that supportive role of women in the industry, that we get you, we understand what you're going through or what you're dealing with or what it takes to get where you are, you know?
And I think too, having, like, for instance, having Christian Sosa and his daughter,
16-year-old daughter. Yeah.
Show, so cool. With her motorcycle in the She Shed along with the RT9. I mean, just, it couldn't have been, and of course Goldie Rocks. I mean, it couldn't have been a more show-stopping for all the right reasons. Not that all these other cars, they're all fantastic, but for us, because it's near and dear to our hearts to be able to explore these types of things, like working on cars as women and seeing young women do it. It was just, I think it was magic. It was pretty
And one of the biggest takeaways is people, like when they commented about our booth, they could tell it was all about women empowering others, but there was tons of guys hanging out.
Oh,
it wasn't like we were like, oh, this is all about, like, no, it was, you know, we hosted workshops all, you know, led by women, and all kinds of guys were taking them too. And so it was really cool to see that. And we really want to help evolve the industry into like learning more and getting excited about it and building cool cars, you know, and stuff. So it's just, it's a great show that, you know, in the rest of the episode, you'll kind of hear everyone share their part of why they're passionate about being in this industry.
Yeah, definitely. And learning from our guests and even people who maybe have been first time attendants that came into the booth and them just walking away with smiles on their face because they've made resin keychains or they've got tools in their hands to either pinstripe or do leather work. I mean, it's just
And we had Riley that is 18 years old. She rebuilt carburetors in the booth too.
Yeah, that was really
sick. So it was really cool because she actually did customers' carburetors.
Yeah.
So they each had a photo.
Yeah.
So if it, you know, it was a, you know, 1970 Ford Mustang or something, they had a photo of it. And then that was the carburetor that they were rebuilding. So it was really cool to see that.
What do we have? 8 people around that?
Yeah,
building
around the
carburetors?
Table doing that. Yeah, so it was really cool.
That was really sick.
Yeah, so.
That was,
I know.
I think great, that it was just great. Yeah, it was exhausting, though. Think about it. It's like I told you, the fact that I personally walked 42 miles during freaking SEMA.
People do not understand the amount of miles you can walk. Because you're like, hey, we were in the central hall.
Yeah.
So then it was like the west hall. Oh, I need to get over to the west hall. I mean, they have what's called the Tesla tunnel in between those two things. Cause it's over a mile to get there or whatever it is. I don't know. But, you're like, oh, I have to walk over there and then I have to walk back. And then there's so much.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing to think about, and not even being able to see everything. You know, not even taking the time to walk through the South Hall because we were busy. Our dance card was booked.
Well, totally. And we showed up in a different way that we were, you know, had a booth that we were hosting. So yes, it takes a lot more out of you, of what we were doing. And then after hours you have parties,
right?
You know, there's,
and we are doing our high octane hustle thing too.
Yeah, that was great.
There's that too.
Yep. We got to interview Krista Baldwin. Yeah. That was great. And
the person of the year.
The person
of
the year.
Person of the year.
Ian Len. So that was really cool.
Yeah. That was super fun. And just so many dope people there. I just can't even get over how many. I mean, you know, it felt like it was a little different without Ford being there and like Dodge, but the Toyota, they did a beautiful setup. I loved that. I thought that was fun to look at. What about you? What are things that you love to look at?
Well, I feel like I didn't look at enough things at the show. I feel like I didn't look at enough things at the show, like actually walking the show. So I was a little sad about that because there was so many other things going on. Because I feel like the content after SEMA was like, wow, I'm like inundated with the amazing, the quality of the builds, I think, are really coming up. Oh, gosh. We did the TMI Trim Awards, too. That was a great part of what we were doing as well. We've been part of that. It started last year, working with our producers here as well. Marcel and Jason are part of the team. And we have, we have Sean Holman. We have my sister, Sarah, Kevin Osteez. I think that's it. Is that Errol? I got it.
If you missed anyone, they'll show up in the picture.
I know, right? But it's so cool because what I love about that, and the quality of the builds have come up, but the quality of the interiors have come up. And it's so cool because I really don't think they've been given enough opportunity that people even look at them or consider them because they're so, you know, in awe by the exterior of the vehicles. And so it's really cool that TMI is giving that opportunity and showcasing, you know, what they're doing, others are doing like that. And it's not just TMI interiors, it's everyone. And so it's really cool that they're incorporating that together.
Well, and TMI's product line offers an opportunity for a real custom look.
Yeah.
For something that might be tangible for a not quite $1 million custom builder kind of thing. And I think I dig that. And Mike Morrow was telling me that they've got now the C1 door panels. And I'm like, C2, come on, C2. Like, not yet. But they're heading in that direction. So
maybe
I'm excited
they'll hear
about
that. This episode.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm like, there's a few things. You can have my car. You can borrow my car if you want something to do.
Nice.
But yeah, because they do a beautiful job. Definitely speaking to Tim King and Mike, reaching out to them and saying, hey, what have you got to put in my car? Because I need a new interior and I don't sew.
Looking for options. I'll sew. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know that I had like one thing in particular. It's cool. They have, you know, Battle of the Builders. I was there in different capacities where we had like, a couple vehicles with Baja Forge bumpers on them. I had done a Super Duty for Icon that I did, semi-custom fenders on basically for a 2024 Super Duty, outfitting them like the earlier model to the newer model and stuff. So there was other parts of the, like, I'd literally go straight to there, you know, to go talk to people and stuff like that. So I think that was like the hard part is that I think we both have so much going on that it'd be nice to like walk the show, but even so, SEMA's
but
like
that would be another 20 miles.
Well, and like SEMA's like such a family thing. You know, I always tell people it is my automotive family. So you're walking somewhere and you're like, oh, I stopped. There's 10 people that you talk to along the way and you're trying to talk for 5 minutes, but 5 minutes turns into 20 minutes and longer. And you're like, I was supposed to be there an hour ago. Darn it. So that happens a lot.
Well, and then let's go into the events. The after parties, after SEMA, all the parties that exist and all the different places you can run into those people again, right? And
totally.
And totally. Is that all you can elaborate? I was going to say, is that all you can elaborate on?
The fun after hour parties. Totally.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
That's an in-person conversation maybe, but no, there's, the Elvis suite every year. I feel like that's like always just on the agenda of, you know, things like that. But
I did some super cool parties too. I went to the Pro Touring party, which was great. I hadn't seen a lot of those people that I raced with probably in, I don't know, 3 to 4 years. But
it's like a family, right?
Yes. Yeah. But then heading out with McLeod as one of that their sponsored cool. drivers.
That yeah. was pretty cool.
Heading out to Las Vegas Motor Speedway and running the NASCARs, which was great. And I was number three, folks, out of 100 people. Number
yeah,
three.
Girl.
Will Beatty and Chad Reynolds had me beat by that much.
Sweet.
Like that much. Not that I want to poke fun at Greg, but I beat him too. And he's like, well, it's only like by a half mile an hour. I'm like, still winning.
Yep.
Still winning.
Totally.
Yeah. We can't use. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, some of the other parts of SEMA is that, you know, there's councils and networks and all these other things that, yeah.
Gear up, so, girl.
Yes. And the SBN, the 30th anniversary there.
Yes.
For Tora. Yes. We went to that as well. And then we were able to give out some of the Jesse Combs awards. So they have like the Ambassador and the Rising Star Award. So there's all these different things that were yeah. also happening.
Yeah. It was, yeah. That charming Riley.
Riley, she won the Rising Star.
She won for the Rising Star.
Yep. And the Ambassador for Tora, that one was Emily Miller that does the Rebel Rally too as well.
Right.
So all these really cool other things that are happening.
Well, and you know what? Maybe a great note to finish up on, too, is this SEMA was when the all-female build, SBN's all-female build, was auctioned off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did it raise? Close to $60,000?
Yep, close to $60,000. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is amazing, you guys.
Yeah.
All for SEMA and, Cares, right?
And actually, I'm sorry you said the wrap it up, but...
Oh, sorry.
SEMA Fest. No, I know, but I...
Oh,
no.
There's that.
It's so... It, you know, and so there's that aspect of it, too, is that SEMA really wanted to get, you know, the next generation involved. And so SEMA Fest was the next, you know, big part of them bringing the consumer awareness to the show. And so having the Burnout Yard and Hoonigans and things like that. And so it was right. really cool that they incorporated some of that to bring, you know, and music and stuff like that too.
Right.
So, because there's so much, we just keep talking.
SEMA, I know, SEMA Ignited rolled right into yep. SEMA Fest.
Totally.
And then they had huge artists like Imagine Dragons and I can't even remember who else,
yeah.
but it's just amazing. And now, you know, that would be leading into the week of F1.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, totally. So, and that's happening. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So much.
Well, I can't wait till next year.
I know. I'm so excited.
We're gonna
already
have a bigger booth. I know.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, let's bring some other people on. I think it'd be cool to get other people's experiences of the show.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And who we have waiting in the wings is none other than Chris Marischal. And he unveiled Vicious Stang 2.0. So I'm super excited to see what his SEMA experience was.
Yeah, that's exciting to reveal a build at SEMA. Baja Forge, signature vehicle builds and off-road products built to forge your own path. Baja Forge was basically made because we loved off-roading. We loved the open roads. If you're looking for off-road products to help you get out on the terrain, visit BajaForge.com. Follow us on Instagram at Baja Forged for our latest builds. SEMA is something amazing. It's the Specialty Equipment Market Association. It is a world-renowned show that if you're into cars and the aftermarket, then it's a show you want to be at.
Yeah, so, and you have to either be part of the automotive
industry.
Yeah, it's an industry show. It's not just open to anyone.
Well, now it is on
Friday. On Friday.
But that even only started a few years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a goal that everyone kind of aspires to. I mean, I know that was for me too, to have a vehicle at the show. And it's why we're talking to Chris Marischal today, because
thank you for having
me. Totally. Yeah, totally. And
it was just a goal just to get to SEMA. Didn't
but
know
why.
Did you hear about it? It, like, was it a thing? Like,
I was just told about it.
And yeah.
Okay.
So
no,
I
really, yeah.
And you're honestly, like, that sounds like fun.
I tried to get a car there, and I didn't like it. So, you know, kind of shelved it and found Jason. And then we started the car. And then we came up with the crazy ideas of Vicious at the beginning of 2016. And that really inspired me because I knew we were on the track for doing something really special. I had six cameras and time lapse, you know, doing the entire build from coupe to unveil at SEMA.
That's right.
So it was a highlight definitely of my life to get a car and get it at that level
right
there. Just, I was over the moon.
Did you have other friends or business contemporaries that you knew that had gone to SEMA and they came home and they told you all about this? I mean, you were into cars, obviously, if you're starting to build a car, right? So where did that, how was that fire stoked for you?
I guess it was the aftermarket, right? Because yeah. I could go there and I could see built cars, I could see the manufacturers' parts and just kind of get a feel for what's available out there. And I mean, Vicious, well, and ultimately Devious are all about the aftermarkets yeah. on there. On both cars, so they really represent what the SEMA show is all about.
Yeah.
In two completely different ways. They're 180 polar opposites. You got a race car and then you got a street performance car with AC and power windows, and Vicious is the elite of any luxuries. So
he likes to be at the top of his game when he does go and do something, yes. It sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. And
I feel like that's what I'm getting here. Because you built something that was pretty right at the top there.
Well,
you
each
know?
Time I'm representing a host with right. a booth, yeah. right? right? Whether it's Magnaflow, Keystone, Ford Motor Company, and now SeaTech. So you kind of want to be dressed in your best.
Totally.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
And represent them in a great way. I mean, they took a risk in bringing you out. In many cases, they pay for me to come out, you know, my transportation, my yeah. hotel room, stuff like that, which I'm very grateful for, that they want the car and willing to pay to have it over there. Helps me defer the cost of bringing the vehicle out.
Yeah.
So, it was really a great honor to participate in SEMA four times. And I thought Vicious was one and done.
Yeah.
But how do you say no to right. Ford Performance, right? And then and SeaTech was quietly hoping that the car wouldn't be done too soon to where I would already show it and get the car out
the
and about.
The unveil is really big
and
at
the
SEMA.
Unveil.
Yep.
They've been unveiling some pretty cool cars in recent times. They've yeah. stepped up their game as well. And and my motivation to bring Vicious back is that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I have a definitive time
totally.
When I pick it up, when I pull the cover off, and I know it's all real and just not me saying for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be another
We've
6 months.
Dealt with it too,
it's going to be yeah. another 8 months. It's yeah. going to be so.
I swear it's done.
It will be done at yeah. the quarantine cruise. Every question by three different people would come up. So what's done with it? You know, and I have to pull out the camera and show them some spy photos. You know, let them know that something's happening.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So it would be easy to say then that you liked your first SEMA.
Oh, I totally did.
And you got bit by the SEMA bug.
I did. I did.
And but then you came back with a vicious vengeance. Oh, sorry.
Good one.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm here all day.
Very good. Thank I you. Like that one.
But what have you seen any differences between just the 4 years, 5 years that you started coming?
Yeah.
And were they good? Evolutions for you? Did you, I mean, obviously, aside from the car.
In general, in just general, walking around, yeah, taking
yeah.
notice.
Yeah. What did you see that you dug? I mean, obviously, you liked your own car.
Well, I saw trucks came in big.
Oh, yeah.
After 16,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
17, yeah. 18, you know, they started
well,
to
and
grow.
Then they came
they
in
grew
big.
In size,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah, they came in big.
You need a 12-foot ladder to get
Listen,
in some
walked,
of them.
Listen, I
totally.
Blown
That's
away.
A great, great
I walked
point.
Past one, and it was the floorboard was over my head. I could
over
have walked.
Your, not over my head.
Yeah.
Over your head?
Would have could
right.
have walked clean
There's
through
There's something you could
it.
Drive a car
yeah.
right underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
So the Bluetooth drive shafts.
Oh my goodness.
That's where that comes from, right?
Oh my
there.
Gosh. So
I think the trucks were one thing. Obviously, Ford leaving, Dodge not showing up. I think they were a pullout at the last minute.
They were. Really?
For yeah. the UAW or something yep. like that yep. that was going on. Holley pulled out for 1 year after, I think, maybe the first year after the COVID.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So it's nice
has
to see
impact.
Them back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen the, you know, was just there a Chevy booth out there this time? I didn't really notice.
Think I saw one.
Or Ford? Yeah. I didn't really notice.
No,
and
huh?
Dodge
no.
wasn't there.
So manufacturers
Toyota
in
took over.
Toyota
where
took at the yeah. Ford.
Ford.
Yeah.
Which was huge because of all the overlanding. And what do you think of that, being a dude in the know? This overlanding stuff. What do you think?
I do like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see doing it, but I'd have to do it solo. Britta yeah. My wife would not go on a trip like that. She'd say, drop me off at Ritz-Carlton, go and run up the mountain, spend a
have
night
a great
or two,
time.
And then
I
pick
mean,
me
you
up.
There's
some
shower.
Glamping versions,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Oh, I've had some people with $500 million RVs, she's but still
like,
she's
nope.
still,
like, I don't
you
think
know.
So. Well, at least she knows what she wants, right?
Totally.
I think that's important.
She drove in Vicious once, and that was from the parking lot of the Pomona Fairgrounds into the big general parking lot where I had the trailer, and that was it.
And she
that was enough.
Thanks, hon.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
She claims she'll drive someday with me in it, but...
You're not going to hold her to it.
Hey, I'm not going to hold my breath.
She's supporting you yes. on all of this. That's yeah. fantastic alone. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Hey, she barely drives my Cadillac V-Wagon.
Oh, okay. Well. Oh,
no. She wants to take the old Denali and just she feels like it's urban assault vehicle. And if anything happens,
it is,
it's
but
okay.
But you can sit up higher. Mm-hmm. You can kind of see
true.
The road better. That's how I feel. I only drive SUVs and trucks most of the time, you know. And having a framed vehicle like that, too.
Right.
All of these things are like
yes.
a big deal, especially yes. being in LA and in the area like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and so. I like the idea of urban assault vehicle, that term.
It totally
because
is.
It's true. You
yeah,
guys,
it totally
living
is.
In... the greater Los Angeles yeah. area, you kind of feel like you need that.
Yeah, crazy yeah. drivers, yeah. road conditions are poor, and, you know, potholes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
unevenness, so.
Yeah. I'm with yeah. her on that.
I
say take it Mad Max. That well, would be so fun to see Britta in a Mad Max or little assault vehicle.
Maybe this is the next
yeah,
yeah. next yeah. build.
I think so. I love it. Do you see any, did you go to any great parties? Did you see anything fabulous? My gosh.
Yeah, the behind the scenes of SEMA.
Give us,
well,
dish.
So on Tuesday, I think this is my third or fourth C-Tech party, and they hold
okay.
theirs on Tuesday evening
okay.
from 5 to 8. And it's at the Country Club directly across on Joe Brown,
okay.
the back
yeah.
road.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Country Club or
yep.
whatever that is back there. And they rent out their patio and open bar and, you know, nice hors d'oeuvres. And it's a good place to kind of relax after the first day.
Sure.
Where you
how do you
actually,
get an invite? I'm just saying
gotta,
for
you,
next year.
You got to know people at C-Tech.
Okay. Hey,
Sean got a couple of people in without actual invite.
Yeah.
So Sean's
well,
the man.
Just
well,
me,
clearly.
Didn't I get
I
you in all
say,
the parties.
I know. You did. You did. We went to some pretty outrageous parties. So had a good time.
So C-Tech is always a great place to unwind after a busy first day at SEMA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this year, I think I was invited 1 year, but... I think I was showing doing Devious that year
okay.
in 19. And I'll you know, with a wife and a long day, you just kind of want to have a great dinner.
And seems right. overwhelming.
It is.
That's what people, I mean, physically you're walking miles and miles. If people
we did 42 miles in 5 days, people.
People talk about steps and stuff. Like, people don't oh, yeah. understand how intense SEMA is. It's mentally overwhelming, too, because you're interacting with people constantly. There's a lot going on.
Exactly.
You most of the time, you do just want to go relax.
Did you have any times... after unveiling of Vicious that you needed to just kind of like, okay, I need to hermit right now. Did you experience that?
It was nonstop. I mean, you asked me about what I did behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So on Thursday night, and it starts at 9:30 and ends at 1 or 1:30 was the roaster shop party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they know how to throw a party, renting out the Jewel nightclub at the Aria, Aria Hotel, 1,000 people there. Sean was a co-host.
He was fantastic.
He was great. He really had, a blast doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And, of course, my day starts out at 5:30 in the morning. I'm an early riser, so all day Thursday I'm running. Then the 9:30 party, that turns into 1:30. We go upstairs and have drinks for two hours.
And
this is the first trip where my daughter ordered 4 air tags for me. So there's one in the truck, one in the trailer, and one in Vicious, right?
And then one in your wallet, so she can keep track of you.
Well, they both track me on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So after that long night, right? So I'm getting back at like 4:30. I'm ready to go on.
Right.
You know, some serious time right there. She calls me, are you coming or going? And I go, well, actually, I'm coming. Going means I'm going to go to Starbucks and get my early morning cup of coffee and then call her, right? So I thought I was going to get some sleep. I woke up like 2.5 hours later. Oh, my God, it's Friday. That means I got to pack up my room, call Sean and Assad, make sure they're packed up. Right behind the scenes. You want to hear about this? Now I got to get the truck, go next door, pick them up and their stuff, and I'm going.
And you're wishing that party was Wednesday.
And then C-Tech calls me up and says, you ready for your 11 o'clock Q&A? And I go, sure, I'll be right over. And Sean says, no, the F you aren't. It's 10:55. And I said, Sean, you got to handle this for me. So he went and did the Q&A with Aaron Hagar.
Awesome.
And, now I got the logistics, right? Now I got to go get my trailer, which is probably 3-4 miles away, stage it. And this was beautiful. And this only comes with experience, okay? And I got to pat myself on the back. So I have to loop around and come down Joe Brown.
Yep.
And stage my trailer basically facing west. Okay. So as I'm driving down, so we're kind of near where the Westgate is in that little
for the
area.
Orange lot.
The big double yellow center lane on Joe Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a semi who was staged there.
Yeah.
And his rear end was, you know,
already down.
Already he wasn't closed up, but he was already staged. He was facing the opposite direction. He was going east. So I go, perfect. I pulled right in front of him.
Yep.
Backed my rear end up to his rear end. Left maybe 2 spaces for the car.
Yeah.
We both had our cones out.
Awesome.
And I walked in, and it was like 2:30, and I'm going, oh, my God. And then 2 hours, literally, we're going to pull out.
You pulled
it off. In an hour and a half, it's going to be shut down.
Totally.
So by the time I fired up the car at the C-Tech booth and pulled into my trailer, 45 minutes.
That's fantastic.
Okay,
that's
give me 5. You're the, that's the first serious reaction I've got.
That's what you have to talk about is how
you
long
could
it
six
takes.
Hours. You could be 8 hours.
Someone runs out of gas. You're sitting in line.
Catches on fire.
They don't allow you to move in the line. You're right at the beginning, and you have to. Your reaction time has to be like that. That's great.
And I have to admit, they do have it more organized. It's not like organized chaos out there, really. They do it kind of in a loop to when you pull out, you take a left or a right.
Yep, you decide.
You take a left to go load up your car. You take a right to get an ignited.
Yep.
And they kept the line moving. Plus, when you leave, they had like traffic guards in 3 different areas, right? So each row coming into
the
door.
Yeah, because it's like a cluster.
It is.
And
there's like no zipper effect, right?
Yeah.
On the human, right? You come in, the next car goes, the next car goes.
People have lost sight of the zipper effect.
Right, exactly.
In every form
on the road.
Of, yeah.
In merging every, onto the freeway, bumper to bumper. Yeah. You know, let me in. What are you saving?
I know.
Nanosecond?
Yeah.
So no, they would stop the traffic. 3 cars go. This lane now gets 3. So I thought it was super, super organized.
Nice.
And then, of course, when you pull out, the Pavarazzi out there cheering you on.
It is, yeah.
I only wish that I could lay a little stripe down, you know, you're that excited about that SEMA's over and I did it.
Yeah.
And you went home and you slept for days.
I got to drive Jay Leno's Bronco out the 1 year or two. And it was like, oh gosh, this is so good. Like, oh, that's all I wanted to do. Like, oh please, gosh. I just want to burn a little rubber.
Exactly.
But you always want to burn a little rubber. And just so you know, we've burned up so much time. It's time for us to say goodbye
that
to Chris Mayer.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh my gosh,
thank
we're so
you.
Glad that you
pleasure
told us about your
pleasure to be with
experience.
You guys anytime.
Yeah. Seema. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you. Cool.
Thanks.
Who's next? Since 1987, GTS Customs has specialized in resto-mod Corvettes. From widened bodies to pro-touring vehicles with all today's modern technology. If you've got a Corvette, an old Corvette, and you want to make it drive like something new, contact gtscustoms.com.
Like it.
Oh my gosh. So we're so excited. Like we were telling you, we're doing things different. And now we have Sean here chasing Chris Marischal. Oh my gosh. Fill us in.
We want to hear. Yeah.
Seema talk.
You know, so this is a little more about specifically Seema. Like why did you want to go to Seema? You know, where did that even come from? Because it's like a dream that a lot of people have, but a lot of people don't understand why.
Yeah. 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 The first time I went was, this was my 10th year of going minus the 1 year that it was shut down for COVID. But 10 years since I went to the first one. So the first one I went with my brother was when Roger Rodas was still alive. And Rich, who worked for Roger and Paul at the AE shop. So it was just the four of us. And the only guys I knew at Seema was those three people. But I wanted to go partially to hang out with them. They were great. They were heavily involved in the car world, racing and stuff. And just being a car guy, just flat out curious to see what the hell this Seema thing is that I've been hearing about.
Right.
Since then, you know, every year it's been, I know a couple more people to where now it's probably similar to how it is for either of you or the guys behind the camera here where, you know, one of your buddies goes, hey dude, can you get over to such and such booth? They're like, yeah, dude, I'll see you in 45 minutes. Why? Where are you at right now? I'm right next to you, but it's going to take me 45 minutes to get to you, which is
real talk right now.
Not a gripe at all. I love it, you know, and because the friendships that I've made through the years, and oftentimes it's with people that I only see once a year at Seema. We might talk on the phone throughout the year.
Totally.
And then with the addition of the exposure that our channel's created, specifically, really, I would say over the last couple of years, it's really kind of starting to hit a bit of a critical mass thing. So fun to meet people that watch the channel.
Yeah.
You know, to have people walk up like they know. I have the perfect amount of fame. I have the best amount of fame possible because in the right circle, everyone knows who I am, and everywhere else, I'm just another dude walking the streets, you know, but it is fun to get the acknowledgement from people of what we've been building for, you know, this coming December will be 6 years since we released our first video.
Rad.
And other than a couple times along the way, every Tuesday, every Friday, 5 PM, no matter what, we drop a video, you know? Cool. So it's the constant sourcing and stuff. It's like, I know we talked about it before. Hot Rod Magazine, you know, you had to, when it mattered, you had to come up with 12 covers per year. We have to come up with 8 covers per month.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? Uh-huh. Every vehicle has to matter. Totally. You know, it's not like, well, we got to get a video up, so there's some piece of shit out back. Let's go shoot it. I'll bet it's got a small block and it doesn't run. You know, that's not our option. So that's, you know, the play for me with Seema has grown and grown and grown with the friendships. And now it's gotten to the point where this year I had the fun of getting to host a couple of unveils. My buddy Sean Smith was a big, he not only designed, but project managed the whole build of that Twisted 67 GTO, which I think was arguably one of the best cars at Seema. Just such a spectacular build. So getting to host that with my buddy Sean, introducing him and the car and all that, super, super fun, right? Then Vicious 2.0 comes back. It's been obviously down for a little over 3 years now. And it was a no-brainer with Chris that he wanted me to host the unveil of that in partnership with Aaron Hagar. Had a blast. Aaron Hagar is as cool as it gets.
He really is, yeah.
What a rad dude. Yeah. Like that's a guy I want more time with because he's just... what a cool human being, man. Yep. You know, so the getting to host those things, getting asked by the Roadster Shop guys to host the award ceremony at their event. It was, I mean, I was just stoked that I got it. It's the first time I ever got an invite to a Roadster Shop party. No shit. And I was just stoked to get to go to the party and hang out with the who's who in the build world, let alone, you know, be standing up there, putting a mic in Ken Digg's face and putting a mic in Andy Leach's, and the Ring Brothers were just, they couldn't get them to talk about their cars. All they wanted to do was grind the Roadster Shop guys about, you know, this like new deal they got. Oh, they were totally, they were just,
it was, yeah.
Jim and Mike were already a little bit inebriated at that point, and they're such funny guys anyways, you know what I mean? But, but to have, honestly, people like that, like Ring Brothers, for me, top of the food chain in this world, you know, top of the food chain. I mean, I'm not saying they're it, but they are.
Oh no, the builders that were in that room, it was pretty cool to see
it's
all that.
It's the who's who, you know what I mean? There's there's a couple guys I can think of that weren't there, or if they were, I didn't know they were, like Troy Trepanier or...
Well, and I think everyone was in the crowd too, but not, you know, right up front. That's
so
all.
To get to be the guy with the mic, like hosting this totally portion of the night, you know, it was like... It was the pinch me kind of stuff, just to make sure, like, is this shit really going down right now? Because if not, this is a hell of a dream happening here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you recorded with them for the channel how long ago?
Three, four months ago, something like that. We were out there. I think we were out there in July, maybe, I want to say.
So this Cinderella moment happened pretty quick, then.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the friendship that's happened with those guys... It's just been really cool. Cause I think for one, they're the kind of guys I like to hang out with, that kind of person, you know, somebody that has morals and values and work ethic and the shit I grew up on as a kid, you know, the stuff I was taught from my family, and they have all that stuff, but they've ascended again to that top level in the industry for the chassis business, as well as the custom build side. And it was like mind numbing to me. I mean, I kept geeking out. They were so funny, and it was such a fun mutual thing with them, you know, because multiple times with those guys, I was like, I'm kind of geeking out that I'm here with you guys. I'm sorry. Like, I'll get back to myself, but I'm just kind of geeking on this. And they're like, oh dude, we're the same way. I mean, you're the Autotopia LA guy. I'm like, holy shit. This is so weird. This is so surreal, you know, but like, so SEMA for me has become, every year it's been a little more involvement. You know, I hosted an unveil last year. I hosted one the year before. Now it was two unveils that I hosted, and having the acknowledgement of the big builders asking me if I want to come shoot with them and, you know, what would it take to get us out there and stuff. And so on the personal side, there's that. Then on the just geek out enthusiast side, like because we took Vicious out there, we arrived on Sunday noonish, something like that, maybe a little later, you know, straight to the back of SEMA where all the cars are loading in, and you That's get cool. to, you get to hear them running for the first time, you know, shit that I've been following, like the Goolsby Mustang, that East Bay Muscle Cars Mustang, holy cow on that car, you know, and so many of them. So I'm out there as the enthusiast guy capturing all kinds of content. We had our shooter out there capturing stuff for our SEMA recap video.
I think that's some of those best moments is load in and load out, because it's like you really do get to like see them, hear them. They're driving, like you said, like it's so cool.
It's one of my favorite parts. It is so freakish. And one of my big highlights for SEMA was I've talked about him before. Chris Ashton has a brand he calls Ruffian Cars. Chris is such an interesting character to me because he looks a little bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I mean, he doesn't.
I wondered where that sorry was.
I know. I was like, sorry.
He doesn't really, but Chris is a very unassuming guy. Like he's sure. small stature, you know, like just, a, yeah. like he's just a small little dude, long kind of scraggly hair, very unassuming.
Yeah. Has a really cool dog.
He probably does. Sorry. Yeah. Goes sorry. And hunts I'm ghosts and stuff. Yeah.
I saw an opportunity.
With Daphne. I watched Scooby-Doo as a kid. Are you kidding me?
Come on.
I can go for a minute here with the mystery machine and all.
Now that would be a fun car to shoot.
That'd be badass.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be all in for that, especially if it could do some wheelies or something like
that. Oh, for sure.
Awesome. But you know, shotgun. But with Chris Ashton, this guy... He was a video game designer. That's what he did his whole life. That's how he made his living. He grew a company to be a very successful video game company. I mean, he did all the mapping for that video game Counter-Strike and then created some other really big game. I mean, very successful with what he does. We shot a Mustang. He debuted at SEMA in 2019, I believe it was. It was out in the Toyo Tread Pass. My buddy Sean Smith kept calling me up. Dude, you got to come out here. You got to see this car. You got to see this car. Sean never does that. Ever, ever, ever does that. Usually he'll call me up and go, dude, you got to come over here and see this horrible piece of shit.
Got it.
He does. He honestly does. He ruins cars for me because I'll see something bitching and he'll go, oh, well, this, this, and this.
Yeah. Like,
shit, I didn't see that. Now you can't unsee that. You're right. Yeah. But with Chris, you know, we see the Mustang. We later met, we shot that car. And what he told me was he built that car 100% himself in a one car garage with a little scissor lift enough to get the car a few feet off the ground. The only thing he didn't do was the paint and body, but literally did everything by himself in this garage. Crazy fender flares, 3D printed stuff. Like, he went deep because he had the money from the success he's created. But he told me it was so fun to build something that was real because everything he builds is digital.
Right.
You know, so then the next year he had bought a Super Performance GT40 that he did a wild, really tasteful bitchin' build to. I mean, the headlights alone, I think he said he had something like 1,000 hours into just
the
headlights.
That's what people don't understand. Yeah.
Wild. Yeah. I mean, this car is so, so tastefully done, man. And so at this point, you know, I'm a massive fan of what Chris does. So Chris has this concept for a business model. He goes, he said those two cars, people have offered him absurd amounts of money, and because he doesn't really need the money, he said he would never sell those because they're his first two builds and he predominantly did them all by himself. He's like, I don't care what they offer, I'll never sell those cars. But he said, since this has happened, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a business, I'm going to build more of my dream cars exactly the way I envision them. Yep. And if people offer me stupid money for them, I'll sell them. If they don't, well, I got another one of my dream cars.
Yeah.
You know, and so this year he brought a spectacular Galaxy 500, also brought a 67 Mustang. His style points, his approach is very inspired by late 60s, early 70s Trans Am race cars. So everything he does is very purposeful. And although it looks wonderful because of the fit and finish, this guy goes out and pounds the shit out of his cars. He likes to autocross. He likes to road course. So these are full purpose-built race cars that, you know. And it's so funny with the Galaxy. When I was talking to him at SEMA, I was like, bro, are you really going to sell this car? He's like, having a really hard time with it. He said, the Mustang, I've already had, he had some pretty big offers at SEMA for it. And he said, that one, I think 700 grand was his number that he'll sell the car for. He said, the Galaxy, I think I'm going to personally buy it from the company. He said, I don't know if I can let that car go.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose that's the downside of his business model.
Sure.
I build more of my dream cars and then I'm going to sell them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the hardest part, but it's good to know they're in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. But seeing like the success he's having now at SEMA was a huge success for him, you know, and Vicious 2.0. It was fun to bring that car back and watch people really, there was a crowd around it the entire week. You could never walk up on that car where there wasn't a crowd of people. And it was fun for my friend Chris to see him have a whole new life with
that
car.
We talked about the neon around that, on that platform.
Right?
I mean, it was, it just caught your eye
that
walking
platform.
Down the, oh, totally.
So
it's amazing.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the C-Tech people were wonderful. Yeah. I mean, they're such cool folks. They put on a great party on Tuesday night that, of course, led to a much later party afterwards, which is...
Late night shenanigans we don't talk about.
Right? It is. Yeah. It's and that's another one where, man, when I think of the first couple of years of going, a couple people, so...
You don't get all the party invites yet. Yeah.
No. And now it's like, okay, we can go to this one.
Yeah.
We can go grab a quick dinner after that. And then we can go to this one. Of course, we'll run into people at the bar. So then, and it's I love it, man. I'm already fired up for next year.
I love that. Totally.
I really am.
That's a perfect way to end that. I'm totally on the same page with you. So,
well,
we can't wait to see what you bring for next year. We'll figure it out.
And I hope to get on one of those lists of with the parties that you're hosting.
We'll get it. I thought you were invited. You didn't come. I was the you.
Let's not go there.
Okay. Well, we'll see if the RS guys bring me back next year. If they do, I'll see if I can get an extra ticket.
Thanks, bro.
Awesome. Well, this is
who's next?
On to the next one. I know.
Who's next?
Well, it was really cool, I think, hearing everyone's different take on SEMA, because I really feel like it's just this epic car show that everyone just wants to attend and be at. So
yeah, definitely. Listening to Chris's experience and how he was still giddy about what he experienced with unveiling at SeaTac, and then even having Sean Davis come on and tell us about his experience at SEMA, not just SEMA, but also the Roadster Shop Awards, and how he's still like a little kid. It is. It's like a little kids in a candy shop when
we
do this stuff.
Totally. So. And I still feel like that, but
yeah, I know.
Doesn't planning, get old to me. So yeah, I'm really excited about next year, and then we can fill you in on what's going on then.
Before we know it, it'll be here. Oh my gosh.
Too quickly.
Well, thank you guys. This was High Octane Hustle. I'm Fastlane Jane.
And I'm Design Muse.
Till next time, follow us.
Like us.
On YouTube.
On
Instagram.
High Octane Hustle Official. Do it.
Now.